morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue on the southeast side of Decatur. My name is Pastor Matthew Versaman, and I have the privilege of being the pastor at Trinity Lutheran. For our listeners, if any of you do not have a church home, we'd like to invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We begin today's broadcast and service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins unto God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I do sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Brothers and sisters, upon this, your confession, I have the good news of telling you that God the Father loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And Jesus did die on the cross for you. Therefore, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to each of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the word of God for our message today from John chapter 1. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. This is the holy gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, witness. What comes to mind when you hear the word witness? Maybe a courtroom with a person sitting on the witness stand who is under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We have eyewitnesses on TV telling us what they saw or heard. You might also think of a witness in a Christian sense, as in witnessing or engaging in Jesus talk with our family, friends, and neighbors. The word witness or witnessing tends to give most of us lifelong Lutherans a case of the heebie-jeebies or the willy-nillies, high blood pressure and sweaty palms. To witness carries a lot of bad connotations. We think of someone standing on a street corner holding a placard that says the end is near. We think of someone pounding a leather Bible and demanding to know, brother, are you saved? Or that endless personal testimony from the person sitting next to you on the airplane, detailing his or her entire life story leading up to their dramatic conversion in the hopes that you will be moved to pray the sinner's prayer before the no smoking sign comes back on. These are some of the thoughts we have when we think of witness. It's time to think about it positively. John 1 says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came for witness, Notice, when Jesus gives, when John gives his testimony or witness, it's not focused on his life story. It's focused on Jesus' life story. John came to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. The Greek word for witness is martyreo, from which we get the English word martyr. We are called to bear witness to our Savior Jesus, even to the point of death if necessary. Our Lord, it hasn't promised us an earthly witness protection program, just a heavenly one. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. There's your witness protection program. John was put under oath by God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and so are you, and so am I. John didn't witness on his own authority. John says, there was a man who was sent from God. John didn't wake up one morning with an itch to preach. He didn't go to the local job fair and say, hey, I think I'll give this evangelist thing a try and earn a few bucks. No, he was called by God and sent by God through the power of the Holy Spirit to be the voice and finger of God, proclaiming and pointing to Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so are you, and so am I. While you and I are not called into the full-time public office of evangelist, nevertheless, we are all called by God to be witnesses or martyrs of Jesus, our Savior, by giving testimony of his birth, life, death, and resurrection. Not ours. It's not about us. Every member of our church is part of the evangelism committee, to tell the truth. The evangelism committee is all believers of every church. We are called in our general call as Christians to proclaim and point to Jesus with the same message of John the Baptizer. John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 1 says, you are a chosen people, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Philippians 2, shine like stars in this wicked generation as you hold out the word of life. 1 Peter 3. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that is in you. Philemon 6. I pray that you may actively be sharing your faith. So what is our sin? Our sin is the refusal to be God's witnesses. Our sin is that there are many times we have been given the opportunity to share the Savior of the world with others, and we close our mouths. We deny Christ by closing our mouths, which is a sin and a very dangerous sin. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father in heaven. But whoever confesses me before men, I will confess his name before my Father in heaven. When the Lord lays an open door in your lap to point to Jesus as the Savior, to share what Jesus did for others, to invite others to hear the message of Jesus, to refuse to do so is to harden your heart a little bit each time to the Holy Spirit who is at work within you. And just like any sin, the sin of refusing to bear witness to Christ can back up in your life and bring an end to your faith and sever you from your Lord. God said in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 33, "When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sins, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved your life." C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, once said, "We find the most zealous witness among the Christians of the first three centuries after Christ. No sword still dripping with blood, no gaping of the lion's jaw, no rack, nail, or heated oil vat prevented the firmly believing Christians from witnessing, even before the most ferocious dictators, that Christ is the Savior. Even weak women and tender maidens set themselves forth with fearless and rock-like confessions over against all the threats of men. If you were to compare our times to theirs, we would have to cry out, 'Oh, where have you gone, you splendid and true confessors of Jesus?'" When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are not only praying that God's kingdom would come to us, but we are also asking God to bring his kingdom to others through us. If we refuse to bear witness to Jesus as the Savior of the world, then we do not truly mean it when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Just as God sent John into the wilderness to be his voice and finger, pointing a lost world to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so also God is sending you and me into the wilderness of this sin-sick, death-filled world to be his voice and finger, to proclaim and to point people to the cradle, the cross, and the empty tomb of Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. King David wrote in Psalm 116, "I believe, therefore I speak." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, "Christ's love compels us, for we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died in him. And this message is from God, who has reconciled all things to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has given to us this ministry of reconciliation." Amos tells us in Amos 3, "The Lord has roared. Who will not fear him? The Lord is spoken. Who is it that will not proclaim?" To not bear witness to Jesus is a sin that can back up in your life and drag you to your damnation if you don't repent of it. With a true repentance that promises that with the help of the Holy Spirit, one will then turn from their sin and bear the fruit of witnessing to Jesus, of Jesus, to the whole world that he is their Savior. That again, as Paul says, Christ's love compels us, for Christ died for all. You and I are the John the Baptizers of today, to a world that desperately needs what you and I have been given, in many cases, to our own children, grandchildren, and friends who desperately need what we have been given in order to live. You and I are called to take the witness stand for Christ. But this is good news. If you didn't have his gifts, if he didn't count you as one of his children, one of his witnesses, he wouldn't ask you to do so. You are his witnesses because you are his children, because you have his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And yes, without an earthly witness protection program, you may have the door slammed in your face, you may have the phone hung up on you, but as they say, if you're being booed in the enemy's territory, you must be doing something right. The world will probably think you're as weird as a man dressed in camel skin and eating honey-dipped grasshopper legs. Get used to it. It goes with the honorary title, Child of God. It may even mean that the day will come when you'll lose your head as a witness for Christ, as John the Baptizer did. Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me." As Christians, we will forever be a minority in this world. So be it. It's the world actually bearing witness to you that you are a child of God. And what a Savior we have to proclaim and point the world to. What makes Christmas really great is not that Santa has arrived with a sleigh full of toys, no, but that today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. What God gave the world at Christmas is not just a holy birth, but a death over our sin and a resurrection over our death. As John said in John 3, he, Jesus, must increase, and I must decrease. It's time for Christ's cradle, cross, and empty tomb to increase, and for Santa's gifts to decrease and take second place to the greatest gift of all. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. So what specifically is the good news for which we take the witness stand and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, think of the good news of Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, or his crib, cross, and empty tomb, with these thoughts. As you see the star hovering over Jesus' manger, that star is in the crude shape of a cross, ominously hovering over Jesus, who is born to die for the world. As Jesus is born in blood to the Virgin Mary, this is a glimpse of the bloodbath that he will die in 33 years later to save us. As Jesus bursts forth from Mary's womb, this is a preview of Jesus bursting forth from Easter's tomb, bringing us life that death cannot conquer. As Mary and Joseph cut Jesus' umbilical cord, Jesus is already shedding blood he didn't have to shed had he stayed in heaven and not dirtied his hands with us. But Galatians 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. As Jesus is being laid on the wood of a borrowed manger to go to sleep, this is a glimpse of Jesus being laid on the wooden beams of a borrowed cross, where the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head and went to sleep in death for you and me. The straw in the manger is not soft and smooth, but as that straw pricks Jesus' skin, it is a picture that you and I filled Jesus' manger, not with fluffy straw, but with crucifixion nails. As Jesus yawns and stretches out his arms in the manger, he's practicing stretching out his arms on the beams of the cross. As he begins to grasp things with his hands, he's preparing himself to hold tightly to the nails of Good Friday and not let go until the job is done. As Jesus cries out from the crib for milk, he is practicing crying out from the cross, "I thirst," as he suffers even in his mouth for our sins. As we rip open our Christmas presents to get to our gifts, Jesus' flesh will be ripped open to give us his gifts. When the soldier took the spear and plunged it into his side, out flowed blood and water, the water that fills our baptismal font with cleansing blood and water and forgiveness, and his blood fills the Lord's Supper's chalice with forgiveness. As the wise men bring Jesus myrrh, we are reminded that the soldiers mixed wine with myrrh and offered it to Jesus on the cross. And although Mary and Joseph did receive gold, frankincense, and myrrh as gifts for Jesus from the wise men, Jesus did not accept the myrrh mixed with wine on the cross, because myrrh was a painkiller. And Jesus had come to drink every last drop of our sufferings so that you and I can drink the joy of forgiveness, life, and salvation in the Lord's Supper. Every time that the Christ child cried out, Dada or Daddy, where are you? He is getting ready for the day when he will cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? As Mary wraps Jesus in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger to go to sleep, this is a preview of Jesus being wrapped in burial cloths and laid on a cold slab in the sleep of death in his grave, getting ready to pull off the greatest grave robbery in the history of the world, so that you and I do not need to be afraid of dying any more than we are afraid of going to sleep at night. As the angels sing of his birth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all mankind on whom his favor rests, the angels stood down on Good Friday and not so much as lifted a finger to help Jesus on orders from God. Colossians 1 said, Christ made peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then, just like the angels on Christmas Eve, crying out, Christ is born, the angels broke their silence on Easter morning, announcing Christ is risen. Just as the angels announced to the shepherds, don't be afraid, today in the city of David a Savior is born for you, the Easter angels announced to us, don't be afraid, he is risen for you. As the angels sing at his birth, peace on earth, we recall Jesus on Easter evening telling the disciples, peace be with you. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. In closing, you and I are called to take the witness stand in this world and to be martyrs, that is, witnesses, of all that God has done for us in Jesus. To witness to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Inclusively, no one is left out of God's forgiveness. If we didn't have Jesus' gift given to us, he wouldn't ask us to do this. You are asked to do this because you have everything that Jesus' blood has bought for you. In this mixed up, messed up world that believes that life is found in gizmos and gadgets, fruitcakes and eggnog, you and I have the honor and privilege not to be taken for granted, to point everyone to the cradle, the cross, and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. As the angels announced, the world has been given peace with God, all for the sake of Christ. And the word for peace in the Old Testament is shalom, which means total restoration. We are totally restored to God through faith in Christ, just as God sent his angels to tell us. And even as he sent Christ to the cross to purchase for us, and even as he raised Christ from the dead to tell us face to face that you and I are saved in every way that a person can be saved in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, first of all, for including us and all the world in the gifts of Jesus. We thank you for the Christ child, your beloved Son, whom you sent to this world as your dearest treasure, that he may win for us salvation and pay a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. And so Christ, on his shoulders, you laid upon him the sins of the whole world. And by his stripes, we are healed. The whole world is healed. The whole world is included in this salvation. These are the greatest gifts of Christmas and Good Friday and Easter. These are the gifts you ask us to give out. O Lord, open our lips and help us to turn away from our silence and our sin and our fears and our doubts, and to be bold witnesses for Christ, to let others in on the good news that they are included in Jesus' all-forgiving death, and they're included in Jesus' death-conquering resurrection. We ask this all through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you for listening to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Again, Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue, on the southeast side of Decatur, and we invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Also, we want to announce that on Sunday, December 24th, we will have a 9 a.m. service as normal, and then we will celebrate our Christmas Eve with a Christmas Eve candlelight service at 4 p.m., December 24th. And we'll celebrate Christ's birth with a special Christmas Day celebration on December 25th at 9 a.m. We'd like to invite all of you to join us to these services as we celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world. And finally, what we also want to ask you, if you are being blessed and if you are listening to these radio broadcasts, we'd like you to let us know by calling Trinity Lutheran at 217-422-3630, and we'd like to hear from you. Thanks a lot for tuning in. May the Lord bless you today, in the week ahead, and as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. Amen.